I guess I have to decide what I want to use for opening music. Hi there. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night, and coming in a little hot again. We got to slow this thing down, tone it down a tad. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns will be on later on. He is on assignment, as they say, so we'll get a hold of Tim in a little while. Talk a lot about football and the upcoming Super Bowl game, of course, that Marblehead will be involved in, but a lot going on still. We'll talk a lot of sports tonight, and again, we'll mainly focus on football. Marblehead has won the Division IIA North Championship, and the Magicians will be in the Super Bowl down in Foxborough in Gillette on that first week in December. I believe it's December 3. Now I got to look it up. I don't have it written down here, but that is good news. We will also be talking with a bunch of coaches and other people tonight. We'll check in with Saugus football coach Mike Broderick and also Manchester Essex coach Jeff Hutton. Later on, we'll talk to Scott Cooper, and then we'll have Tim on, too. And we have a call out to Jim Rundloff, see if Jim will be able to join us, but he's very busy. A lot of coaches very busy still coaching, of course, and other activities going on getting ready for Thanksgiving. And in case you missed it, over the weekend, the biggest game beside Marblehead beating North Reading 28-7 and St. Mary's winning over Stoneham 16-6 and Triton beating, how could they be beating Stoneham twice? I don't understand that one. It's got Triton 46, Stoneham 32. Well, anyway, that's in the times here. Was Beverly's 19-18 win over Billerica, another amazing upset by the Beverly Panthers. So we will talk to, with Tim about that. And a lot of video up on the website, of course, and the game is up there. You can also check the streaming, not streaming, but you can check the video. The complete video of the Marblehead North Reading game is posted on our website, just a couple of pages away. And just go ahead and take a look. Fast forward if you need to. Look at the whole thing if you want to. It's an amazing, amazing performance by Marblehead. And congratulations to both schools on a terrific turnout on a miserable night. It was windy and it was cold. Both teams comported themselves extremely well. Big win for Marblehead. Can't wait to hear about the Beverly win over Billerica. St. Mary's lives on, and so does Triton. And other results in football over the weekend, it was Gloucester beating Wakefield 34-13, Manchester Essex downing Lynn Tech 40-16, the Prep came back over Lexington 55-19, Hamilton Wenham over Arlington Catholic 42-20, Haverhill 20, Peabody 8, Danvers beat Whalen in overtime 21-15, Drake it down Salem 22-13, Newburyport bounced back, beating Bishop Fenwick 19-7, Ipswich by a point over Shawsheen, 15-14. Swampscott beating Amesbury by a point, 21-20. Georgetown over Essex Tech, 41-22. Dexter, 41. Pingree, 13. Tewksbury, 18. Masco, 13. Lynn Classical, 27. Malden, 21. Revere beating Lynn English, 24-22. Northeast over Winthrop, 20-6. Weston over Saugus, 20-7. Pentucket beating Austin Prep 42-16, and it was Linfield 34, Greater Lawrence 14, and Everett scored 62 points on Andover, I believe. Andover had 30-something, but Everett doubled the score on him, and that ends the run for E.J. Perry, the fourth heading, at least his quest for a Super Bowl. Okay, we will take a break and come back and talk with Saugus football coach Mike Broderick here on North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, and we've got a lot to cover here this evening. We'll be back.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, we're back, and Saugus football coach Mike Broderick is joining us now. And coach, how you doing?
Doing great.
Well, that's
good.
How are you guys? We're good. Tim is Tim's not so good. He's home right now, listening. He's not feeling so hot tonight. I think he got a little depressed over the election and over the Patriots game, so he didn't make it out tonight.
Yeah, it's been a tough few days.
It has, coach. Talking about tough, you guys have been in so many games and come up a little bit short in so many games. Tell me about the good stuff that's happened in Saugus football, because I look at this and I know it's got to be frustrating with the one touchdown losses on the one hand, but on the other hand, you were in most of those games.
Yeah, we have been. There's been a number of games that we were close all the way to the end, and whether it was a mistake here or there, or we've had a lot of fumbles this year that have taken the games out of sight for us. But the kids have played hard. They haven't quit. Everybody's got practice. They got good attitudes. So we're sort of just gearing up now for this final one against Peabody.
Now, what's the makeup of your team, Mike? How are you distributed with upperclassmen and younger guys?
We're kind of split half and half. We have a decent senior class. We start six seniors, but we have five underclassmen who play some key roles.
How about the Arlington Catholic game? You finally broke through. The kids had to feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah, they felt great. It was great, because they have worked hard all year, and some things haven't gone our way. But that game there, we didn't have any real turnovers. Played clean option football, and everybody did their assignments, and it was great. It was a great feeling. Yes.
Mike, everything is cyclical, and schools are up, and then they're down, and they're back up again. And, right now, it's got to be hard when you see the losses on the one hand. But on the other hand, kids love to play football, and are you able to get down to the younger kids and start, bringing this thing back where you've had it before?
Yeah, absolutely. And, it is. It's about the game of football and the love of the game of football. And we've been happy that we started the middle school program a few years back. So we have we've done it for about 4 years now, and we have like 28 kids in the middle school. They were 5-2 this year.
Mm-hmm.
So kids are playing, and if they keep playing middle school football and keep coming to Saugus High, the future will be good.
Do you have kids? I'm guessing your seniors, your captains are probably those kids who do this, but kids who work out. After Thanksgiving and in the springtime and the summer in their weight room and running, and it's a real drag getting up early and doing that stuff. But then, I'm sure you've got some athletes now that are saying, look, this is paying off for me. I'm feeling good. I'm a junior going into next year or a senior going on to school. You got kids who are understanding so they can relay that to the younger kids and how important it is to get in the weight room.
Yeah, definitely. And we will have the older kids talk to our younger kids about the importance of the weight room, because you're 100% true. That's what wins football games, is the commitment in the offseason. That dedication in the weight room, because these seasons become long. They start losing their strength, but their commitment to the weight room in the offseason really brings them through it.
Yeah, it gets tough this time of year. Who are some of the kids, Mike, that you can brag about?
We have one of our captains, Ken Williamson, has had a great year. He is defensive lineman, offensive lineman, who has now been converted to a running back.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and so, he's a 6'3", 250-pound kid that has good feet. in that dire need, we put him at running back a couple weeks ago, and he's done a tremendous job.
Oh, that's great. That sounds cool. Yep.
Yep, Nick Ferrari. The last game, he picked up a fumble and ran 60 yards. He's a nose guard for us. So that was a great highlight for the year. And then kid Dan Pizzatoro for us, very understated young man, worked hard in the weight room, just what we had talked about. He's come around and had a tremendous senior season. He's a kid who never had imagined playing college football,
mm-hmm.
but now he's getting a few looks from some of the smaller Division III schools, so he's ecstatic about it. He's a great kid. Good student. So we're really happy for him.
Well, not only that, but also it's good for the entire program. Again, the kids see that. It rubs off on them and say, okay, we're a player two or a player a two or two away from having a good season. And so it's great that happens. So you got one kid, it can happen to more.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. He's a great role model.
Mike, is there a particular point in the season you're most proud of the kids? Because I know that, win or lose, man, you work so hard, the kids work so hard, and you're banging heads with people. So pick a point or two in the season that you're most proud of.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like once we got to the halfway point, unfortunately, we've had some down years. Like when I first started, the kids would come, a lot of missed practices.
It would
be the dog days. And about halfway through the year, we had a tough loss, and we started to wonder about what would happen. And that Monday, we had 100% attendance.
Uh-huh.
Kids were there. Kids had good attitudes. They sort of were like, you know, they understood what was going on. You know, unfortunately, we suffered a few injuries to some key positions, but the kids were there. They're enthusiastic. You know, and they're grinding it every day.
Well, you know,
I'm proud of them.
It sounds like a lot what Winthrop goes through too. You got the small school, and boy, if you miss one kid in a key position, you're going from a senior or junior, maybe down to a freshman or an eighth grader.
Yeah, it goes real quick that way.
Yeah, you don't quite have the depth that Notre Dame has.
No, we don't.
No, I know. Now, Coach, you've got a big one coming up in a week and a half. So, what's the plan now in facing Peabody next?
Yeah, we just got to get ourselves situated, make sure we got our option game going. We're going to have to prepare for them. You know, they're a big school. They're well coached, tough kids. All the Thanksgiving games are tough. But we just got to make sure we handle our own business, you know, control the tempo, play the type of football we want to play, and we'll see what happens on Thanksgiving.
Are you coaching other sports, Coach? I know you're involved with your son, but are you doing other sports at the high school?
Not at the high school. No, I'm strictly sort of the AAU circuit for basketball and baseball right now.
Okay. So you got a lot of downtime, right?
Yeah. Keeps me busy, keeps me young.
That's good. Mike, again, thanks for talking with us. Anything else you want to mention about Saugus football or anything else for that matter?
No, just proud of the guys. They've handled themselves this year, and good week and a half, and we'll go get Peabody.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and we'll talk again soon.
It's you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Coach. That is Mike Broderick of Saugus High School. One win so far this season. But, man, you know, and they were in a lot of games. Close game with Manchester. Close game with Swampscott. 6-point loss to Winthrop. 5-point loss to Boston Latin. Close game to Weston. I mean, they're in these games, and they beat Arlington Catholic 29-14. So I know it's got to be frustrating. And I also know that Coach Broderick will have the program on an upward curve very soon here, working with the younger kids. But it's cyclical, man. It goes in cycles, and you know it's not like other sports where you or other or private schools where you can recruit kids. And you know, Saugus is in with a lot of other bigger schools as well. So it's a tough road for those kids. And congratulations on playing so hard and playing with great heart all the time. Okay, so where are we? Let's see here. I do want to mention that there is one football game we will be broadcasting this weekend, and that is on Saturday, and that will be Beverly at versus Duxbury. That's going to be at Colley Stadium in Lowell. Now, the Gloucester Times says 1:30 is the start time, but Bill Newell informs me the start time is at 2:45. So we're going to go with 2:45 until or unless I hear otherwise. Now, there is another big game. This one is in Brockton, and that will be Triton at Hanover. That game is scheduled for a 2:30 start. And so we won't be broadcasting that one, but we certainly will have our eye on it, and we'll be following the tweets and hopefully updating it. Now, again, we have the one broadcast game. We're not allowed to do live streaming video. Can't do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Not going to do it. But we will be doing the live radio broadcast. Okay, Patrick Sheehan, of course, we wish him well at Triton. And, again, bring it home to the North Shore. One school already in, Marblehead, Division 2A. They will be playing either Falmouth or whoever Falmouth is playing this weekend. And I don't have it in front of me either. So maybe you can let me know. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, by the way. msonewsports@gmail.com. And I'm not even sure how this all the other stuff works with the tweets and all that stuff, because Tim's not here and Bill's not here, but I know how to do email. Okay, so next up we will let's see what's on my schedule here. I just lost my page. We'll talk with Scott Cooper next. Going to talk to Scott about Swampscott and Marblehead sports, and probably Marblehead in particular. All right, this is MSO New Sports. I'm Rick Moore. We'll be back, so please do stay tuned. Okay, be right back.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder. Fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting For, The Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydews flavors of the fall today.
All right, back with us now is Scott Cooper, sports writer for The Item and many other publications as well, primarily focusing on Swampscott and Marblehead. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing okay. The voice is a little shot, but Everything else is working fine.
Bob Wilson voice, though. It sounds really cool.
Sounds like I've been chain-smoking Carrington for
a couple
months.
There you go, I know. Oh, man, well, we won't push it and just speak low and easy, but where do you want to start, Scott? I mean,
we have the Thanksgiving football games coming up, and, of course, Marblehead Super Bowl, but the big game around here anyway is the flag football powder puff game between Marblehead and Swampscott Saturday morning at 10. I was at the Swampscott practice today, and I just got back from the Marblehead practice. And the enthusiasm level at both is very, very high. So it's Swampscott's trying to snap a 2-year losing streak, and Marblehead's trying to keep that going. And they're both playing for charities, so it's going to be a good event.
All right, now
we're looking forward to that this weekend.
I only moved to Massachusetts. I'm a newcomer. I only moved here 51 years ago, and to this day, I do not understand the concept of powder puff. So can you explain it to me as to what powder puff football is and who is in it?
Well, it's basically a lot of folks that, you know, it was powder puff when I was in school, so I just, you know, every once in a while someone says, no, it's flag football. It's just a flag football game between the two teams that are competing on Thanksgiving. For instance, Lynn Classical will play the Lynn English girls, Marblehead Swampscott girls, Salem against Beverly girls, and up and down the line like that. It's just a fun event. And most of the teams, you know, they charge $10 to get in, and all the money raised goes to the teams pick a charity each year. And this year they're going sending the money to the Rape Crisis Center, which is up at the Lawrence YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing that they're doing.
All right, what did you learn in your visits to the two teams today?
Well, unfortunately, they've got a lot of influx of talent that has come in the last week to 10 days. The Swampscott field hockey girls were knocked out, followed by the Swampscott soccer girls, and Marblehead's volleyball, field hockey, and soccer teams went down. So all those girls have now joined the squad. So they're at full strength now, and they're very excited to get going.
Okay. Where's the powder puff game again, please, Scott?
This year it's going to be in Marblehead. It's at the opposite field. So this year's Thanksgiving game is in Swampscott. So powder puff flag football will be Saturday morning at 10 o'clock over at Piper Field. So.
All right. That sounds cool. Okay. Now, listen, La, we got to talk about Marblehead. But first, tell me a little bit about Swampscott. I believe they won over the weekend, correct?
They came out, won 21-20. It was very surprising. They didn't, you know, they got two touchdowns in the air, but they went on the ground almost 98% of the time, which is unlike them. Usually they like to sling the ball all day, but they ran the ball. Isaiah Bascom scored a touchdown. Freire did throw two touchdown passes, but basically it was just on the ground, on the ground, on the ground. But credit to Amesbury, they didn't quit. I mean, both teams are, you know, out, pretty much out of it, but they're playing for pride. Amesbury was trying to win their third game of the season, and Swampscott was trying to snap a five-week losing streak, and they made a goal line stand. Amesbury was going for 2 points in the win, and they got stopped 21-20. The Big Blue pick up a win.
Yeah, and it's good to see, because when we saw Swampscott, I think they just weren't quite sure what was working or what should work, and maybe, I don't want to say indecisive, but they just didn't quite have the rhythm that we saw them against Gloucester that they can have, and good to see that they beat Amesbury. That's got to feel good coming into Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's that's big. That's big for them, because if they had lost that game going in like a 6-game losing streak to Thanksgiving against, I'm not going to pull any punches with you. Marblehead's got a pretty impressive team, so it's much better to go in and a win on that. So
Scott, we've seen Marblehead. And talking about identity, when Marblehead, I think we saw the second game that they played against Wakefield. We saw that game. And it was a similar thing. In fact, Coach Rudloff alluded to it in our pregame the other night, the fact that they weren't quite sure what they wanted to do on offense. They had so many weapons, they weren't sure what they wanted to use. And at that point, it was, I don't want to say it was indecisive, it was just they were sort of trying things out, I guess is the best way to look at it. And now, oh my God, I mean, everything works for Marblehead.
Well, they've been on a mission, those guys. They've been focused on one thing. It's funny, I talked to the Wayland soccer coach the other night after they beat Swampscott, and he said that team has been focused on one thing for a year. It's coming back and beating Swampscott, and the Marblehead football kids have been focused on one thing for a year since they lost to Danvers, is to get over that hump and get to Gillette Stadium, and they did that. So I saw an interesting, I was up in Andover the other day. I saw Greater Lawrence play Linfield, and I thought that Greater Lawrence was going to croak them because Linfield was very, very flat to start the game. They had just lost a tough game to St. Mary's the previous weekend, but Linfield put it all together, scored 5 touchdowns in a row, and had a really nice win. They looked really great after the first quarter, but first quarter they were just 3-0, 3-0, 3-0.
Yeah, they've had a really good run this year, sort of up and down, but geez, a lot of talent in a small town like that.
Yeah, the quarterback is very good. Mortolito has his name, and Murphy, the running back, got some of them talent. And they've got some big, big, big receivers, Hawes and Ellis, a couple of the big kids, big tight end. So they're pretty good on offense. So that's going to be a good game, North Reading and Linfield, I think, on Thanksgiving, because obviously, you know, Linfield's on a little bit of a roll now. And North Reading, obviously, they want to end the season on an up note after that loss last week.
Absolutely. And I know that you're getting excited about getting past Thanksgiving, getting into hockey, but anything else you want to mention, Scott, about what you've seen, you know, over the weekend or any other time?
Well, just, the soccer was just great last week. You know, the Marblehead girls, unfortunately, they lost. It was a fluke goal, and you hate to have an overtime fluke goal cost you a tournament game, but that's what happens. You know, like the coach, Andy Bubb, said that the soccer gods, you know, sometimes they give and sometimes they take away, and they certainly took it away from them. But they had a great win the night before, 2-1, knocking off Burlington. So they had a great season as well.
Well, Bill Newell just gave us a score. He is at the Arlington-Danvers girls soccer game, and Arlington won that one by a score of 3-0 over Danvers. So Danvers has run into a wall. That's as far as they get, but they got pretty far.
Yeah. Most of the teams, just about everybody, if my memory checked this morning, I think just about everyone that, you know, in our general area, are knocked out. So, I heard the Boston radio stations talking about the, was it Edwards-Avarian coming up, Super Bowl?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's going to be the game, one of the games of the century, according to all the people who have been talking
about. You know, Zavarian is got, I believe they own everything, but then Everett, you know, the University of Everett is right there. And, you know, they started off slow again this year, and then just look what they did to Andover last weekend. My God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that should be something else.
One of the Greater Lawrence coaches was telling me that Andover has got a really, really good team, and then they could get croaked like that to against Everett. He was pretty surprised, but
yeah,
it just shows what a good team Everett has.
Well, Andover has been, same thing, sort of hot and cold. They lost quite a few games at the beginning of the season. Then they got hot and got their rhythm. And they have an incredible offense, Scott. I mean, you know, with E.J. Perry the fourth, they're amazing. They got these receivers who can go with the wind, and they're all tall, and they can all catch. But obviously, you know, again, Everett is Everett. We saw last year, when Everett played Peabody, I swear, I'm probably exaggerating a little bit, but honest to God, I swear they had three offensive 11s. In other words, they rotated an entire starting offense in. Yeah. Instead of rotating quarterback, they had a rotating offense. It was amazing.
That's, you know, it's pretty impressive what they do over there. It's, you know, and good for them, too. You know?
Oh, yeah. Year in and year out. All right, Scott, I know you got to go get some tea and honey on that throat, yeah. And we'll talk to you.
Hot shower and a steam.
There you go. Yeah. We'll see you at the next cold field with the next wind, windy day.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, Scott, thank you. Appreciate it. Bye. Scott Cooper, who is... sports writer for the Daily Item and for the Wicked Locals in Swampscott and Marblehead, and covering a lot of sports, not just football, as you heard. Again, girls soccer tonight, final Arlington 3, Danvers 0. Bill Newell will have post-game videos up on the website soon, and that will probably be within, you know, a little while, half an hour, hour, 2 hours. Takes a while to process the videos and get them up there, but Bill was there. He'll have interviews with the kids and with the coaches, as he always does. And that will be right on our website, right here on MSO News Sports. And there are many other interviews and videos and radio broadcasts from the weekend football games that are up there as well. Tim Kern's doing a terrific job getting all of our interviews in the Beverly game. We're going to talk to Tim in a little while about that Beverly game, beating Billerica and winning the week before. I think it was by a point or two over Tewksbury. Just amazing wins. And if you read Phil Stacey, I think it was over the weekends, was it Saturday or today? Phil Stacey just does nothing but praise for the Beverly High School football team, as they have just pulled off two amazing upsets. All right, we're going to talk with Manchester Essex coach Jeff Hutton in just a few minutes, and then we'll check in with Tim as you're listening to North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns will be with us in a little while. Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer. Bill Newell out in the field getting all this information and feeding it to us. So we'll be back. Okay. Stay tuned.
Come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
This is MSO NewsSports.com.
All right, we are back. I think we're back. Is my mic on? There we go. It's always good to push the right buttons here. We're back with Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. Coach, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling. How are you?
Very, very well. Very well. It's I know it gets a little tiring this time of year. Do you find yourself It's probably a loaded question to ask your football coach. But do you find yourself it's a little bit harder sometimes now at this time of year with the darkness and so on to keep the energy level up?
Well, I mean, we're lucky because we have lights on our practice field, which just happens to be our game field. So it's not an issue whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we've been winning, you know, we've won three in a row, we've got some excitement, some enthusiasm. I think our kids want more. They want another week. They want more games. You know, we're finally hitting a good stride right here. So it hasn't been an issue. I mean, I remember in Beverly we had a couple of years where we were down, and you got to find ways to kind of make this stretch a little more exciting. But right now I think we're doing pretty good.
You're damn right. Well, let's talk about some of the excitement, because you know what? I'm looking at the Kepan League overall standings, and I don't know how you know, really how to decipher them except, you know, within the league. But, you know, for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, what is it, 10 schools or 11 schools? 1, 2,
yeah,
3.
Yeah, I think there's 11.
11 schools. You guys are third overall in scoring. And, geez, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've finally been able to, you know, we got some of the guys that were a little banged up earlier, and we get some guys back. And I think we've been playing some really good defense lately, and that kind of helps. You know, all that excitement carries over to offense. We've been getting a lot of short fields. I think, you know, we were just watching a film with the kids today from our Lynn Tech game. Our offense must have started inside our own 50 probably four or five times in that game. And, you know, when you have a short porch, you have a much greater chance to score. So it was just really good on. I think we've been much better. They go hand in hand anyway. So I think once our defense started playing a lot better, everything kind of took off.
How much has it meant to play schools that are bigger and with more depth and arguably more talent overall? How important has that been for your kids now that they're playing, you know, someone more or less your own size and you guys are wailing on people? So, you know, what's that all mean?
Well, I think you got to look at it as a double-edged sword. You know, it definitely makes you battle-tested because you see some of the, you know, was it Amesbury? You know, they're one of the bigger schools in the Kepan small. They're two divisions higher than us. All the other schools are one division higher. And even though, like, you know, school population-wise, Ipswich is pretty close, I think they have maybe 40 or 50 more boys than we got.
Mm-hmm.
But they had 50-some kids in their program. We had 24, you know. I mean, that's our job, obviously, to get those numbers up. But, you know, I think that kind of was a factor. Like, yeah, you're battle-tested, but we also went 0-4 in the league. You know, we had some injuries. You know, not to say a huge excuse, but when you know you got 60 kids, you're top 15. You have a better chance of putting together a competitive 15 when you're looking at 25. Now your 15s are a little smaller than the 15 that someone's got 65, 70 kids.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Coach, we'll get back to the football talk in a minute, but this time of year, kids, seniors especially, are looking forward to next year. Some of them are getting senioritis. You got to keep them focused, but are you also, I'm sure you've counseled some kids into what they might be doing next year, and, you know, obviously they're probably not going to be playing, you know, at Alabama, but they are going to be going on to schools, and so it must be, where you're in the building, it must be kind of fun to advise these kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm actually not teaching there,
right.
I have a guy on my staff that is, but I've always, you know, the good thing is every one of the guys that are on my staff had played college sports. I mean, most of us are played college football. You know, myself and one of my other coaches, we were teammates at BU. You know, Pat Orlando played at UMass Dartmouth. We got another coach, Anthony Nardella, played lacrosse at Western New England, and another coach, Coach BJ Weed, he played baseball in college. So we've all had that experience, all went through that recruiting process. So they can ask any one of us. We had a former player of mine, George Callis, he just graduated from UNH, so you know, every one of us have been there, done that. So I think, you know, they can ask any one of us at any time to kind of, okay, what should I do? This coach is asking me this. Should I call this guy? You know, we always tell, like I tell the parents, it's not my job to tell these kids what level they can play at. That's the coaches at that next level to figure out if they fit. Usually it's a fit. You know, how well do they fit with their program? What type of athlete are they looking for? But once the coach is interested, I'll do everything I possibly can to get him in there. You know, I mean, that's an easy part for me to do.
What's a good story? I'm gonna throw a curveball at you, Jeff. Okay.
All right.
What's a good story? A non-football story that you might have involving one of your kids, no names or anything like that, but maybe a kid who's come to you and said, you know, this is great or this sucks or whatever it might be, but something that's maybe non-football from one of your football players that you say, okay, this is what education's all about. And I know you're not teaching in the building, but you are a teacher. So, you know, something that relates to education and football, but maybe not on the field itself. You know what I'm trying to ask you?
Completely. We have a kid on our team who he'll admit to it. He knows he's not. He plays football because he loves hanging out with everybody, and you know he likes being there. And he's in the robotics. So he's like on the robotics team at the school. So he's really smart, and he's really into. Him and his family have gotten into smoking meat. Right. So he comes in and tells us every day, like, oh, we're going to get a batch of this going this weekend. Do you want to try some? So he's brought us, like, pulled pork. So he's going to bring us some, like, smoked sausage before the end of the season. So,
all right.
I mean, that's what happens, though. You get so many different kids from so many different backgrounds to play this sport. You know, you don't always have the kid that's playing it because he wants to go to college and play it. He just likes being there. He likes the sport. You know, he's into it. But, you know, then he always asks, you know, silly questions. He's a guy that when things seem to be getting a little down or a little too serious, he always asks that crazy question that reminds you, like, you know what? This is just a kid's game.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's great.
That's one of the best parts about this sport. You always have guys, you know, one or two guys that are like that, just remind you why you're doing it.
Well, you guys going to set a new tradition for the spaghetti dinner, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll have them come back next year.
There you go. No, you know, and the other thing is, we sat in the stands in Marblehead the other night, second week in a row, and the first week we were on the Gloucester side,
mm-hmm.
And then, it's hard for me to stay in the stands as an educator, and, you know, following sports and trying to promote the good that coaches and kids do, and listen to what parents say sometimes in the stands. And it's so, if they only knew what you knew and what you see every single day, because you're with these kids, you know, sometimes six hours a day and under very, very trying circumstances. And overall, I'm sure that you've got so many more good stories than actually play out on the field.
Oh, of course. And, you know, obviously, you know, they're always going to be looking out for their interest, their own kid, and they're always going to see it through that tunnel vision. But, you know, we explain to them that you are trusting us with your son or daughter, and you got to realize that, you know, we want what's best for them. You know, we're going to coach them aggressively, but we're going to care for them. We want them to be successful, you know, and we want to make them better people, more importantly than better football players. So,
all right, Coach, take us through the wins now. 45 points, 33 points, and 40 points the last 3 weeks. Give me a couple of highlights.
Well, I have to turn it over to the defense. I mean, Friday night we had 5 turnovers, 3 picks, and 2 fumble recoveries. You know, three of those picks set us up inside their territory. We scored on 2 of them. The last one, we came up a yard short. We just picked the ball off right before the half, returned it to the 24-yard line. We threw a reverse pass, and the kid got tackled on the 1-yard line with no time left on the clock. So we could have converted that one, too. And then same thing, Madison Park, we had a couple big stops on defense to give us short porches, and then same thing at Marion. The defense has done a great job these last couple weeks to put us in good position, and we just feed off that energy. You know, it's the same kids playing offense and defense, so a kid makes a big stop on D, they carry it over, they want to make a big block or a big run or a big catch, so.
I got to ask you again, you know, you the skilled position players get all the names in the papers. Give me a couple of kids who've worked hard and you've seen them on the films, you've seen them on the field, and they're doing pretty good that maybe you could pick out, maybe you haven't mentioned before.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, like, you know, we have a lot of our line that are going both ways. You know, like obviously one of our captains, Andrew Henzopoulos, you've heard him talk, I've talked about him multiple times. He was our best D lineman for the first 2 weeks. 3 weeks, and then we moved him to linebacker because we had injuries and depth issues, and he's been our most consistent linebacker, too. So he's just a football player. And, you know, we run a lot of our tosses and our sweeps to his side, and he's been an unbelievable job of being able to reach the guy so we can get to the edge faster. You know, he's really been solid in pass protection. Another guy is Jackson Rice. He's one of our guards. You know, he's come on. He's only a junior. He played, you know, he started as a sophomore, and he was always one of those kids who was a skill kid, you know, semi-fullback type player in like Pop Warner and through freshman, and we convert him to a guard.
I'll be a little reluctant last year, but now he's like seeing the fruits of his labor. You know, he's having a good time. He's really, we run a ton right behind him, so he's helped us out tremendously. Cool. And we got another sophomore in Noah Rawson from Rockport. He's been last year as a freshman. He started and played every down on offense and defense. It's just a big
wow.
play.
Wow.
And I think I have to mention Charlie McDowell. He was our center. You know, he didn't play much at all on JV last year, and he's actually been playing a lot on offense and defense. So we've got some young pieces in there.
Excellent. How's the sub-varsity going, and maybe your youth leagues, because that stuff should be probably winding down about now, too.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, because of our numbers and injuries, we had to cancel our JV schedule this year. But our youth program, the 7th and 8th grade Junior Hornets, are two of the bigger groups that they've had in the last 3 or 4 years. So there's probably, I went to a couple of their games, I got to talk to the parents, sat down with the kids, and there's probably 10 or 11 kids that are definitely coming, you know, staying in Manchester, and at least 9 of them are committed to playing football. So I've got I got my work cut out for those other two that are they're on the fence right now.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, offer them some incentives, I guess. Some pulled pork, maybe, you know?
Yeah, there it is, man. Got it.
That's cool. Okay, Jeff, we'll probably talk to you before Thanksgiving, but you got Georgetown coming up. And so what's the plan? What's your practice plan for the next week or so?
Well, we watch film today because the game's still fresh in our heads. We'll give them a couple days off. We're going to give them tomorrow and Wednesday off. You know, I know their school quarter just started, so give them a chance to. You know, I don't know how much homework they're going to have in the first week of the new quarter, but it'd be nice to get some fresh legs out underneath of them. Because, you know, it's 3 seasons and nowadays. It's the regular season, the playoffs, and then Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's true.
This is it, man. This is the last game. You know, this is for us to have a winning record. You know, there's a lot at stake here. Georgetown's 5-4. They got a chance for 6 wins. I don't know how long it's been since they've had that many wins, but I'm sure they're motivated. They played really hard. They had a big win against Essex Tech last week. So they've put together 5 wins just like we have. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a playoff team and we weren't. So we got a lot of challenges for us this week coming up.
Jeff, where'd you go to high school?
I went to Millville High School in Millville, New Jersey.
In New Jersey? Oh, that's right. You told me about that. Yeah. Now, did you guys do Thanksgiving games down there?
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing is, a little story for you. When I started coaching up here in Beverly in 2000, right?
Mm-hmm.
They bragged about how big their Thanksgiving Day game is with Salem.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we're one of the oldest in the state. We're this, we're that. And I was like, oh, that's great. Congratulations. But, you know, it's funny. My high school is like number 5 or number 6 in the nation for longest continuous rivalry.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, nothing. Like, when I was a junior in high school, that was my 100th game. I think that was in 94, 93 was
yep.
my 100th game.
Wow.
For that rivalry against Vineland, New Jersey.
Wow.
And I think it was 98 or 99 was the 100th in Beverly.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I got a couple years on them.
Yeah, and Thanksgiving around here, I know with high school Thanksgiving, it's just, you're right, it's a whole season in one day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It sure is.
It is. That's cool. So where's your game? Is it home? It's a home game.
It's home this year, yep.
Excellent. Home. All right, Jeff, we're going to talk to you, I hope, before that and talk a little Thanksgiving football. But in the meantime, hey, listen, congratulations, and, you know, get that next win. You guys are over 500. That's super.
Hey, it'd be pretty excited to be finished 6-5, wouldn't it?
Way cool, way cool. All right, Jeff, thank you, and have a great week. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Jeff Hutton, who is the Manchester Essex football coach, the Hornets, the Green Hornets, now 5-5, looking for that over 500 mark. And they got Georgetown on Thanksgiving. Okay, we'll take a break. We're going to talk some Marblehead football and some Beverly football in just a minute. And we'll be doing a lot more of that coming up, of course. Now, Bill Newell is at Manning Field covering soccer right now. And, again, in girls soccer, it was Arlington 3, Danvers nothing in that game, tournament game over at Manning. Again, girls soccer, it was Arlington 3, Danvers nil. And in the second game that Bill is covering, Masconomet leads Beverly by a score of 1-0 midway through the first half. And so Bill is putting in some long hours. Once again, he'll have videos and interviews up probably late tonight or early tomorrow morning, as you got to give the guy a chance to get home and do this. My goodness. So We'll talk some more football coming up in just a minute. This is MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. We do it most Monday nights here on the radio, on the internet radio. Tell people about it, will you?
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sauk Asian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SaukAsianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place to go.
MSONewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
All right, the man is back with us now, Tim Kearns. Hey, Coach.
Good evening, Rick. How you doing?
Doing very well, Tim, and I hope you're feeling okay. Been talking football, obviously, for the most part. Bill Newell is over at Manning covering soccer. And just to, again, mention the scores, Bill sent us a score that in girls soccer was Arlington 3, Danvers nothing. I imagine these are Division North finals. And then in the boys' game, it's Masconomet 1, Beverly 0 midway through the first half. So that's in soccer tonight. Now, we got to talk about the last two Beverly High School football games, Coach, because I can only imagine you and Marty with some of the finishes, the expressions and the body language, but the descriptions are terrific. And I don't know, where do you want to start? I mean, let's go back a week ago before we talk about this past weekend's game. And that Tewksbury, I mean, what a gigantic upset.
It really was. And I guess the thing you have to recognize in this Beverly team is their resilience. You know, they took two losses in the middle of the season to Marblehead and then to Danvers, in which they were handled, you know, pretty easily. I think they were disappointed in the way they played, and they got back to playing Beverly football immediately after that. And they looked much better, but they had the habit of falling behind early. In these games, they managed to get on the board against Tewksbury early, and then Tewksbury was able to come back. But, you know, these were Bill Ricker and Tewksbury, two high scoring teams in that Middlesex Valley, and Beverly gave up 8 points to the number one team, and then 18 points to the number two team. And it was, you know, just an incredible display. The first against Tewksbury, just to constantly time after time make defensive stop after defensive stop, and then they have the luxury of Luke Zampieri and Legatron out there to win the game for you, especially after having, you know, missed a field goal and an extra point early in the game to go back and make that field goal with authority. It was a boot and a half, as this once early in the season had been, kind of like he had a blip like Kostelski had for the pass, and everybody worrying about him. But again, these guys can correct themselves. This kid has a great future ahead of him, kicking or punting for somebody. But he did the job on both ends against Tewksbury. And then again, to have the grit, the metal, the tenacity to hold off and keep Tewksbury, you know, out of the end zone as many times as they do is outstanding. And you move to last week, and you know, I thought I was going to have, you know, heart failure the first time. Now we go through it again, and you know that first half they get down 18-0. They're negative yardage. They have, I think, three possessions. They punt. They didn't have had the ball for just over 5 minutes out of 22 in the first half. They had nothing going at all. But one thing I did notice, and I mentioned at the half, that the running backs, instead of getting to the corner and turning the corner, were trying to pick a hole before they got to the corner and slide up. And Bill Rooker was just so fast at stringing it out that they were running right into the teeth of the defense as it was recovering. They had the outside speed to get to the corner, but they weren't giving themselves a chance to get there by trying to cut up underneath. And I said, what they're going to do is just go to the corner.
And that's what they began to do. You saw it with Chenault. He would just blast for the corner, and then he was able to turn the corner and then make things happen because he outran the pursuit, and now he was into the second layer. They got the big kickoff return to open up the second half against Bill Rook, Samet Beatty, out to the 45-yard line. You could just see the energy was there. They were up. They were pumped. They were a totally different team. And if you know, people listen to the post-game comments by Coach Morency. He said, if we're going to lose, let's lose playing Beverly football. And he challenged the kids just to go back out there and do what they have done all year long. And they were fired up. There was an intensity. It wasn't over-enthusiasm. It was just a new clarity of purpose with this team. And they went down and they scored. And then they got the second score. And with that first score, Phil Stacey mentioned, he said, you get that first score, you get into their heads, they start thinking. And I said, no, get the thing of the Tewksbury all over again. He said, yeah. And that's what happened. Bill Rook began to make uncharacteristic mistakes that you don't see 8-1 teams make. They took silly penalties. They took a roughing penalty. They took an offensive pass interference penalty that backed them up. And Beverly, again, it just built on their confidence, built on the adrenaline, and they were just coming out, and they were making hits, and they're making the stops now, and Bill Ricker isn't getting anything. It was just an amazing turnaround, and then just before the inferior hit that last punt, I said, all game long, his punts and his kickoffs have been line drives. He was out-kicking his coverage. What he needs now is a stratospheric kick, and he gave it to Beverly at the moment they absolutely needed it. This was a skyrocket. And Johnny Jones, who was an absolute blister of a runner, he gets downfield, and he's coming up on the receiving guy. And Bill Rick was fearless. They were going to run all these back. And I think Jones got on top of this kid so fast because the ball was up so high that it gave the coverage team a chance to get down there. This kid blinked. I think he took his eyes off the ball. He saw Jones coming. It went right through his arms, right through his legs, and Jones ran right past him and dove on the ball. And I think it was three plays later, Beatty, they run it right up the gut. They run a triple I, and he goes right up the gut, right into the end zone. And it was like the most amazing comeback, Rick.
Yeah.
Then, of course, it's never easy because now with a couple minutes left, Bill Ricker gets the ball and just chop, chop, chop. Boy, they've done it early in the first half. They're going down the field, going down the field, going down the field. It's like, oh, no, don't let them steal this, because they had a field goal kicker who kicked a 24-yarder in the first half. But they used all their timeouts trying to slow Beverly down in the second half. And they were rushing at the end of the game. The refs gave them a timeout by measuring on a place with a ball they didn't need to, because it was clearly not a first down.
Mm-hmm.
And they centered the ball, and I'm like, why are they centering the ball? Why is it on the, on the hash mark? They centered the ball for the kid. I'm like, God, why don't you just kick it for him? I was really upset. And then Beverly just put 10 men on, 10, maybe all 11 on line. They simply came after it. And the kid muffed the field goal attempt. It was a dying quail. It fluttered. Mm. And we're all kind of watching it in the press box. And it didn't even make the goalpost.
Mm.
It went off to the right, and it was just it was a dying quail. And we couldn't believe it. Everybody in the press box was just like incredulous that Beverly had pulled up. The coaches were there. Beverly TV was there. Phil Station was there. Marty and I. Hang on, Rick.
Yeah, don't go away. What'd you do? Hello? Hello, Tim? Hello, Tim? Yeah. I don't know what happened. We'll try calling him back. Let's see what happens here. Let's try calling him back. All right. Let's see what happens. Gotta love live radio.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice
message. Why is he calling
system?
This one? Okay.
Tim Currens.
Yeah, are you there?
He's not available.
Okay, let me cut. Tim! He's calling me back on my cell phone, and I need him on the studio phone. Let's try it one more time, and then let's see if this works now. Let's try that. Do-do-do-do. Calling Tim Currens. While we're calling Tim, I'm looking at Duxbury, who's Beverly's next opponent. And Duxbury, I believe they're the Green Dragons, is that right? They are averaging 45.2 points per game. Is that right? Yep. And they're scoring, and they're allowing 12.4 points per game. So I'm looking at... Okay. I'm looking at some of their scores. They've scored 42 points against Bridgewater Raynham, 49 against Barnstable, 49 against Whitman-Hanson, 46 against Plymouth North, 55 against Silver Lake, 52 against Quincy. There we go. Yeah, what happened?
The phone slipped out of my hand.
Okay.
I went to grab it, I disconnected it.
While you were gone, I was just looking at Duxbury's scores. And before we get into that, Tim, and we got about 4 minutes left here. The way Marblehead has sliced through the competition in the playoffs, and the way Beverly has played so well, I don't want to say over their heads, but as the underdog, I think you've got to have a pretty healthy respect for this Northeastern Conference football.
Oh, you certainly do. And Duxbury, I mean, we saw Duxbury play Gloucester in 2008, and I think they've been back to Gillette several times since that time. Just an outstanding program, and I think back to that Duxbury team that Gloucester lost to in 2008, and I see numerous similarities between both Tewksbury and Bill Rick with that Duxbury team, the size of their linemen, the physical shape of their linemen. They're tall, they're like oak trees, and everybody moves, everybody gets speed, and so the best thing I think Coach Marinsky did was to call Paul Ingram. Because I'm sure Duxbury's going to be coming at them in the exact same way as they did in 2008 against Gloucester. They're going to be big, they're going to be fast, they're going to be physical. They put up a lot of points, they're not going to be afraid of the Northeast Conference. They're going to have to be wary, remembering how Gloucester eventually, even though they fell behind early, came back and stuck with Duxbury in the second half. That the Beverly against two very productive Middlesex Valley teams have shut those offenses basically down. Their points per game they cut in half. So they've got to be very respectful of the Beverly defense that again might not be big like Gloucester's wasn't all that big, but they're fast. They're strong, they react well, they read their keys, they execute the defensive game plan, they have speed in the secondary to cover receivers. So, Beverly will present a unique set of defensive challenges to Duxbury. Can they get on the board early? That's what the guys think that's going to need to do, and make Duxbury play from behind, change their game plan a little bit, and force them to make adjustments. You don't want to have to be making adjustments to the other guy. Make them adjust to you.
Mm. All right. Well, we have.
And Marblehead, the same thing. You know, big, fat. They're confident. And they're on a mission. So everybody's charged up. Both teams are talented. They're confident. They're well coached. And they'll be focused. They'll be ready to go.
All right. We have conflicting time starts, but Bill Newell is telling you and me that your game at Lowell will start at 2:45 on Saturday. Now, at Cawley Stadium, I presume... I've not been there. Is it a nice field?
If it's the one where Gloucester played Masco years ago, it's old.
Does it have lights?
Yes.
Okay, because if
yes,
it's a 2:40...
the game I went to against Masco was under the lights.
Well, if it's a 2:45 start, you're going to be in the dark. The Gloucester Times has that game starting at 1:30, but Bill said 2:45, so... it looks like you and Marty will be there and follow Beverly all the way through and hopefully get him down to Gillette.
Well, let's hope so. It'd be a real amazing story for Andrew Morency, returning to his hometown where he's a legendary player. He went out. He coached there for a while. He went to Hamilton Webb. He had the opportunity to come back and for a first year coach to walk into this and Beverly lost. They lost a lot of kids off of last year. Seems a lot of really good quality kids. And then to get these kids to buy in from day one that their mission wasn't just to have a good season or a winning season. It was to end up in Gillette at the end of the season. And to think that they're a game away from completing that mission.
All right, you got Panther preview coming up this week?
Yeah, we will get that either tomorrow or Wednesday afternoon, depending on what coach wants to do. Did we make our selection on the Player of the Week?
I haven't seen the official announcement yet.
Okay. Bill did post my post game interviews from the Bill Ricky game.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I got them here, and they were all distorted. They didn't come out right on mine when I got them.
Okay.
It was weird.
But Coach Morency, Tony Jones again with that big recovery of the must punt, and Sam Abatey, who he gave the three touchdowns.
Okay. All right, Tim. Take it easy tonight. Rest well, and we'll talk to you later.
All righty, Rick.
Okay, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you much.
Yep. Bye bye. That's Tim Kearns, our extraordinary sports analyst here on MSO. And again, don't forget, we will have live football coverage from Lowell on Saturday. Double-check the website. We have it as a 2:45 p.m. start, Beverly versus Duxbury at Lowell. And the Gloucester Times has it as a 1:30 start. Whatever time it starts, Marty Smith and Tim Kearns will be there to bring it to you on radio. Again, we're not allowed to broadcast live streaming video of the tournament from last week onward through the finals. And so we do have the Marblehead video up. It's posted from the Friday night game. We do have all the video of that game. And, of course, we've got both the radio and for both games. We've got the radio for both games for Tim's game, the Beverly-Bill Ricka game, and, of course, for the Marblehead-North Reading game. All that's posted. You can listen to all of it, along with interviews and tidbits and all kinds of good stuff, plus all the interviews and information that Bill Newell has been bringing to you. Bill has tons of sports videos up there from the playoffs, from the tournament, in all sports. And tonight, again, Bill is texting from Manning Field. Doubleheader at Manning Field in girls soccer. It was Arlington 3, Danvers 0. And in the second game at the half, it is Masconomet 2, Beverly nothing. And this is the Division II North Finals being played at Manning Field. So thank you to Bill Newell for all that terrific work. And he'll have highlights and interviews coming up later on this evening on the website. If you like what you're hearing, what you see, and so on, let us know. msonewsports@gmail.com. And tell people about it, will you? Thanks a lot. All right. Thanks to my guest tonight, Mike Broderick, Saugus High School football coach, Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton, Scott Cooper of the Daily Item, and, of course, to Tim Kearns, our MSO extraordinary analyst. That's it for me. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Papasi. Good night.